We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Yeah, it's old.
By the way, Dave, we crawled down underneath the church last week and didn't find any boxes of songbooks. So the hunt is still on. If they've moved, the kids enjoyed it anyway.
Yeah, the rest of us prayed for him while he was doing that. We didn't want to go under there by any means. Well, I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes, and then I'm going to play, or Donnie's going to play for us, something that I ran onto on the internet, and I hope it blesses you. I really do. But before we do that, I just want to say, I liked what Don said a while ago. Things are a little different, but God isn't. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And we know one thing, no matter what changes in this world, in this earthly life, it isn't the end for those who are born into Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. Last week we talked about the extended list of the gifts that were named, the gifts of the Spirit of God that were named in the Bible, and what those were, where they come from. We found out that they are a result of the grace of God given to each of us. And today I want to establish more about why the Lord gave us those gifts. So if you wouldn't mind, turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And we're going to start in verse 7. You know, I would also say, before I get too far into this is probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I've done some hard things, but this is hard. This is hard. To ask the Lord for direction, guidance on what would bless the people, and hope you hear the right thing. Honestly, hope you hear the right thing. And I hope that we have. So starting with the 7th verse, but unto every one of us is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. And verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. The Lord woke me up the other morning. Thankfully, it wasn't 4:30, and I didn't wake up at 4:30 this morning. I'm glad. With verse 12, just going over and over and over in my heart, for the perfecting of the saints. It's the whole purpose. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's what it's all about. And oh my goodness, I think by the gifts of grace from Christ that he accomplished in his death at Calvary, we've been given everything we need to be perfectly Christ-like, Think about that for a minute. It's not within us, we know that. It's his gift of grace in us that works the works in us to become Christ-like, to carry on the work of the ministry of spreading the gospel among our own little world, our own little groups of people that we know and we are involved with, and for the building up or the edification of the body of Christ. I have to say, I'm not proud to say this by any stretch of the word, that even having been raised in church my entire life, I cannot say that I am perfectly Christ-like. I have a long ways to go, nor that I have the full knowledge of who the Son of God is. I know him as Savior, and I'm so thankful for that. But there are a lot of areas of knowing Christ that I still strive for, and I still want to know more. You know, the Bible says that we have to know him in his sufferings. Well, we know a little bit about that this last year. I'm sure there's more that we have to learn in that regard, too. But that we can know him in his resurrection, we have to know these things also in Christ. So I know that I need far more refinement, more of the edges brushed off, that refiner's fire working in me, until I come into the unity of faith and the full knowledge of who the Son of God is. And only then can we really measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm sure I'm not the only one that can say I have a long ways to go, but I'm only speaking for myself. I know that I have work that needs to be done in prayer, work that needs to be done in operation of the gifts of the Spirit within my life, that I can see the fruits that Christ will birth in and among us. On Monday evening, I typed into YouTube these words: when God doesn't answer my prayers. That's all I said. That's what I typed in: when God doesn't answer my prayers. And I found four things, and I listened to all of them, but I went back to this one twice, and I listened to it twice, and I've listened to it a total of four times now. I sent it to Don to get his opinion and see what he thought about it. And I think it addresses some very hard questions about our faith. I'm not telling you that it has all the answers wrapped up into one little package, because I don't think that. I also think there's a couple of things I'm not sure I totally agree with. But overall, it blessed me, and it encouraged me. And I want it to do the same for you, and that's why we're going to play that this morning. It's about 35 minutes long, and I hope that this message resonates with you. If you can look over the fact that this kid is young, he doesn't wear normal church clothes, but if you listen to his message, I think you will be blessed, and I know I was. So if, Don, you can get that started, then when it's over, we'll spend a season in prayer. We'll ask Don to come back and lead us in prayer. You can tell me if you're not happy with it, and we won't go this route again, but I just thought it was something that would speak to the time that we're in right now.
Also, if you have something against Southerners, you'll have to suspend that for 35 minutes.
We are continuing into week 2 of our series called Secret Weapon. And if you can't tell by the graphic, the series is about prayer. Prayer is our secret weapon in the arsenal of a believer, but it is often the most neglected tool at our disposal. 1 Kings 17:8, we are talking this morning about what do I do when God does not answer my prayer? What do I do when God does not answer my prayers? You come to church and we tell you that God answers prayers, and then say, if we're just being real, there's sometimes you pray some prayers and nothing seems to happen. Well, I'm going to talk to you about what do we do when nothing seems to happen and when our prayers seem to go unanswered. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil at the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do what you've said and make me a little bread first, and then use what's left of the meal for yourself and your son. And that's all that I want to read right there. So I just pray that this text opens up to you and comes alive, and we're able to see it as it is. I want to paint this picture for you just a little bit clearer, all right? As we pick up in 1 Kings 17, there is a severe famine in the land of Zarephath. The Bible says at the beginning of chapter 17 that it had not rained in years in this region. And the situation had become so dire that even Elijah, who was living in the wilderness, surviving off of a mountain brook, the brook itself even dried up. The rivers were drying up, the brooks were drying up, and the crops and everything in the area were dying. There was a severe famine in this land, one that wasn't just for a few days, not just for a few weeks. The Bible gives us an inclination that it had been years since rain had fallen in this land. Now, the Bible here does not tell us that the widow prayed for rain, but it kind of doesn't even have to, because she's in the middle of a famine, and the Bible does insinuate very clearly in verse 9 that the widow had been praying. The widow, she had been praying for her son. She had been praying that the rain would come. She had been praying, Lord, send manna from heaven. Send quail like you did to the Israelites in the wilderness. God, do whatever you got to do. I imagine it was a prayer of desperation as she cried out for God to meet her where she was. She was starving, and even worse, her son was starving. Verse 9 is a clear indication that this woman was praying to God. She was asking God to send rain. And then her prayer seems to go unanswered. Her prayer seems to fall on deaf ears. And in the middle of this famine, when people are dying, livestock are dying, crops are withering, as she looks day after day, night after night, up into the sky to see if precipitation is on its way, she's met with disappointment each and every time. And this widow, in the middle of her chaos and calamity, is crying out a prayer of desperation, yet God seems to not hear her. Her prayers seem to fall on deaf ears. And then God sends his prophet Elijah, and he shows up in the village. And just maybe, she's thinking to herself, maybe God is going to bring deliverance through this man, this prophet Elijah. Maybe he's going to be the answer to my prayer. And what does he do? Y'all, the Bible is hilarious if you don't know. Elijah walks in the middle of this drought. Everybody's dying, famished, weak, laid over. And Elijah walks in and he's like, hey, yo, what's up? Hey, can you go get me some water? Give me a cup of water. Oh, and while you're at it, give me some bread too. Do you see this? Because we read it in our recliner and we're like, oh, that was nice. You know, he just asked for a little water and a piece of bread. He's in a famine, y'all. Nobody's got water. Nobody's got bread. And he casually strolls in and he's like, hey, take some water and some bread with that. And this woman once again experiences disappointment. Another facet of unanswered prayer. As she looks at Elijah, her heart is broken as she responds to him. Look, her plea in 1 Kings 17 is a plea of desperation to Elijah. She says, I swear by the Lord my God, I don't even have one piece of bread in my home. I don't have anything. All that I have left is just a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and I've already decided that I'm going to use the little bit that I have left for myself and my son, and as we eat it, that will be our last meal as we prepare to die. Do you understand what's happening right here? This woman's prayers are not answered. She was praying for a miracle, praying for rain, praying for manna from heaven, and instead God sends his prophet Elijah, and he's just a little bit rude, a little bit assuming, walking in, asking for more. And the Bible actually says that even after she said, Elijah, I don't have anything, he said, well, go ahead on and make it for me. Did you read that? He said, she says, well, all I have is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil and no water. And he said, all right, go ahead on and make that for me first. He says, me first, and then you and your son can have what's left over. I don't know about you, but when I was reading this, I was like, Elijah. I was getting a little, I was like, dude, come on, bro. She's starving, and you've been out by the brook. And then he devours all that she had left right in front of her. Have you ever prayed for something? Have you ever prayed for a situation and things only got worse? Have you ever been praying to God for somebody who's sick and they only get sicker? Because this woman was praying for rain. She was praying for more provision, more food, and all that happened was the man of God came and devoured all that she had left. Her situation was getting worse before it was getting better. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've prayed for financial blessing and I only got more bills. There have been times I've prayed for peace and I only got more chaos. There have been times that I prayed for the sick and watched them die. Can we be real in church? There have been moments in my life where I've prayed prayers that seem to go unanswered, and I'm sure if you're being honest with yourself and not super hyper spiritual, you can admit that there have been times in your life that you have prayed prayers that have seemed to go unanswered. And before they ever got better, they got worse. It is from those experiences that disappointment rises up from within us. It is from those moments where we cried out in desperation and nothing seemed to change that confusion set in and bitterness. And maybe even you're in this room today and you are angry with God because he didn't answer your prayer. He didn't move when you asked him to move. He didn't intervene when you needed him to intervene. But can I tell you this morning that this book teaches us that we are not to live based on our experiences, but we are called to live by faith in the word of the living God. We walk by faith and not by sight. We believe in what we cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. We are to believe in the unseen. You might be here today and you're saying, well, I've heard all the scriptures. If I just had a mustard seed of faith, I could speak to that mountain and it would be removed and cast into the sea. You've heard the scriptures that whatever you ask in my name, if you would believe it, it shall be given unto you. You've heard the verses that say that God will give you the desires of your heart. You've heard it and you've prayed it and nothing has changed and nothing has happened and disappointment has creeped into your life. And now you're at a place where you're beginning to wonder, does prayer even work? And because of your disappointment, your prayers and your petition to heaven has grown silent because you prayed one too many times and nothing seemed to change. You might even be wondering, does prayer really work? Does God really hear me? Is he really listening? I'm glad you asked. Let's continue reading in 1 Kings 17:14. For this is what The Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will always be enough flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time that the Lord sends rain and crops grow again. And so she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her son continued to eat for many days. And there was always enough flour, enough olive oil in the container, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. If you're taking notes today, and even if you're not taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down. God often answers prayer in unexpected packages. God often answers our prayers in unexpected ways. We overlook God's answers because we don't recognize them. This widow was praying for rain. She was praying for manna from heaven, quail from the wilderness. And instead, God sends her a hungry prophet who comes and devours everything that she had left. God had answered her prayer. It just didn't look like it. Because God's answer to her prayer came in a manner in which she did not expect. She was looking for the rain, but yet God sent Elijah. Could it be in your life this morning that many of the unanswered prayers in your life really have been answered? They just were answered in a way that you didn't expect. Could it be that God showed up in your life and did something that you did not expect him to do? Could it be that God's answer to your prayer caught you off guard and you overlooked the miracle that was right in front of you? Elijah was the answer to the widow's prayer. He was the answer to her desperation. She was looking her miracle in the face and had no idea. She was looking her miracle in the face, and it was annoying her to no end. It was devouring what little bit she seemed to have left. And could it be that God has answered your decree? He has answered your prayer, and you just overlooked it because when it came, it didn't look like what you thought it would. God didn't send the rain. He sent Elijah. God did not give this widow what she wanted, but he gave her what she needed. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he didn't give her what she wanted. Come on now, help me preach. He didn't give her what she wanted, but he gave her what she needed. God doesn't always give you what you ask for. He doesn't always give you what you want, but he gives you what you need just in time. A good father, a good parent, knows that they can't give their child every single thing that crazy child asks for. If so, they would live a whole diet based on lifesavers and gummy worms and all this other stuff, and they'd be dead laid up in the hospital. If you give your child everything that they ask for, it's not productive and it's not healthy for them. Our Father knows what we need long before we even ask. And he doesn't always give us what we want. He doesn't always give us what we ask for. And often his answer to our prayer comes in unexpected ways. I just wonder, have you been overlooking the answer to your situation right in front of you? Because that's what was happening here in 1 Kings 17. She didn't get her will, but she got his. She didn't get her will, but she got his. I'd rather have God's will any day. How about you? You say that now, but I know I say it. In the moment, she could not see it. In the moment, she could not understand it. In the moment when she was looking at Elijah devour the rest of her flour in olive oil, she could not see that that was the answer in God's provision. In the moment, you can't see the true picture of what God is painting in your life. And if you're in the middle of a predicament this morning, I want you to just to lean not on your own understanding and rejoice in the fact that what you see right now is not the finished product. And in the moment, right now that you're in, you may not see the full scope of God's plan beginning to end, but I will rejoice and know that he is the God who sees my end from my beginning. And what kind of God, if a child would ask for a fish, that he would give them a snake? If an earthly father can provide for his children, how much more can our heavenly Father provide for all of us? And if you're thankful, you ought to bless him like you mean it. We love you, Jesus. In the heat of the moment, in the middle of the famine, this widow could not recognize the answer to her prayer. But looking back, hindsight is 20/20, years removed from the famine, she could look back and say and point to that moment and say, surely my deliverer draw nigh to me. Surely my deliverance was at hand. When we're in the moment, we can't see God's hand of provision. But when we look back, we can't help but see it was God who met me there. It was God who carried me and brought me through. You might be in this room this morning and you've lost a grandparent, a grandma, a parent even, and you think that your prayers weren't answered. You prayed for their healing. You prayed that they would raise up, and yet they died. God's answer came in a package that you didn't expect. It was God who carried you and strengthened you through that storm. It was God who used every moment of that situation to reshape and mold the way in which you view life in eternity. It was God who provided an absolute and eternal healing once and for all for that person to where they'll never taste death again. Can I just preach to you for a minute? We think that God's prerogative, his number one priority, is healing in the body. Well, if God doesn't heal, then he's not answering. He's not listening. Can I just slip this in for you real fast? God is so much more concerned about your soul than he is about your healing. He's so much more concerned about your salvation, your eternal destination, than he is about the ailment that you're facing right now. And I'm not trying to downplay the fact that God can heal, because I've seen him do it. I believe it all with all my heart. But I'm telling you today that he is more concerned about your soul. He's more concerned about your salvation than he is about your body being made whole. Can I just tell you why? It's real deep. It's real deep. You ready? Because even if God heals your body, it's still going to die anyway. It's still going back to the dust anyway. But if he saves your soul, it is something that is eternal, that even the grave can't touch, the grave can't stop or hold. Salvation is the greatest miracle of all, not healing in the body. And sometimes when a person's life is on the line, sometimes the healing that God provides, sometimes he raises them up. I've seen him do it. I've been by many hospital bedsides, many, I promise you, and I've prayed for people that were on their last leg, that it looked like death was all but there. And I've seen God raise them up. I've seen God pick them up, breathe vitality and health and life back into their body, and I've seen them go on to live many, many more years blessed on earth. Seen it. But I've also prayed for people who have died and passed away. I prayed for their healing, but it seemed to be an unanswered prayer. But the truth is that they're more whole than I'll ever be. And they'll never taste death again, because they are in the presence of God Almighty. And Revelation 21 says that when you are absent from the body, present with the Lord, that he shall wipe every tear away from your eye. There will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more disease in his presence. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has made all things beautiful in his time. All things beautiful. The time that you spend in prayer for that person is never wasted. Time spent in prayer is never wasted. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Isaiah 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens, and they remain on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper wherever I send it. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So much higher as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher and my ways greater than yours. God is sovereign And we must make a decision to trust him even in the unanswered seasons of our life. Even in the unanswered prayers, we must make a conscious decision that I trust in your sovereignty, I trust in your goodness, and I will follow you anyway. I'm talking to you this morning about the God who breathed life into you. This God dwells in eternity. He is not finite. He is not limited by time. He can see your end from the beginning. He knows what is best for you. Even when you don't know what's right for your own life, he can see it. His word tells us that he works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. In other words, even when you can't see it, he's working for your good. Tell your neighbor with a little attitude, he's working for your good. Little attitude on it. He's working for your good. And his word tells us to lean not on our own understanding. Can I just talk to you for a minute? I have met so many people who, when God does not answer their prayer, they get this attitude and this disposition with God. Oh, well, I'm mad at him. I'm angry with God. I'm not talking to God. I don't understand him. Just FYI, God does not owe you any explanation. He doesn't owe me an explanation for why he does what he does. He is sovereign. He is the creator, the giver of life. He is the one who gives and the one who takes away. He holds all creation together, and he does not owe me an explanation for why he did or didn't do something. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, that we see through a glass darkly. In other words, from our perspective, our finite perspective on earth, we are not programmed to think eternally. From our perspective, we can only see so far. And even our perception of eternity is skewed. When we look at a situation, when we look at somebody that we need to be healed, or we look at a chaotic situation, we do not fully see as he sees. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And he knows what is best for us, even when we don't know what's right for ourselves. I'm just going to be honest with you. There, I went through a stretch of my life, even in the pastorate, where I really tried to logically wrap my mind around every answer to prayer or every unanswered prayer. I tried to reason my way through it. Well, you know, God probably did this because, you know, it makes sense because he's just, and that over there and this. We have got to stop trying to fit God into our finite reasoning and understanding. We've got to stop saying, well, I know he did this or that. Stop making excuses and let God be God. Let him be God and trust him anyway. Trust him when you feel good and trust him when you feel like giving up. Trust him when you want to rejoice and trust him when you feel like dying. Trust him in the good days and trust him in the bad. He is sovereign. We see things through a glass darkly, but he sees them as they are. And the truth is that unanswered prayers create resilient faith within us. I'm going to say that again. Unanswered prayers create resilient faith within us. John 20:29 says, blessed are those who believe who have not seen. I want to talk to you real quick about the Apostle Paul, the great apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He took the gospel into Europe, into Rome, into the world. One of the greatest men, greatest apostles who carried the banner of Christianity into the Western world. The Bible says something about him that might catch you by surprise. It says that as we think about the Apostle Paul and his stature and his position and his authority, we imagine somebody who is immaculate, somebody who's perfect, somebody who's got it all together. But the Bible actually tells us that the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and that is a creative, poetic way of saying Paul had a real struggle in his life. And the Bible is profoundly clear throughout the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul prayed for deliverance from that thorn. Read Romans 7. Read Romans 8. Paul says, the very thing that I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I hate doing, I go head on and do it. Because there is a struggle within me. And Paul petitions God. Read the New Testament. Read it. Paul petitions God to free him from this struggle. To free him from this thorn of his flesh. And Paul's prayer seemed to go unanswered. But God's response to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, your unanswered prayer, Paul, has the capacity to create a resilience inside of you like nothing else ever could. See, if I just go ahead and answer your prayer as you expected, as you wanted, on your timetable, yes, that will give you faith. But then the next time you pray and it doesn't happen, your faith could slip away. It takes a whole nother level of tenacity, a whole nother level of faith, a whole nother level of radical believing to trust in God, even when you don't see his answer. Resilient faith is birthed out of unanswered prayers. Job was a master. David was a master at it. David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted. Job said, though you slay me, yet I will bless you. These men understood that the unanswered prayers of their life created a tenacity, a resilience within them that equipped them to finish the work that Jesus started. And could it be that the unanswered prayers in your life, really, God is using those moments to create a tenacity and a resilience inside of you that is unshakable, unmovable. Because if you can call him faithful when your bank account runs out, if you can call him blessed when your loved ones die, if you can still find a way to worship him and rejoice from the middle of your unanswered prayer, then you can bless him through anything. And if you're thankful, you ought to give him praise like you mean it. Unanswered prayer creates resilient faith in us. I don't know about you, but I've learned to thank God for the unanswered prayers of my life. Sometimes I've asked for some really stupid things, and I'm glad he didn't answer it when I asked him. You remember that middle school boyfriend y'all were praying to marry? You saw him 10 years later. You said, thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Will learn to thank God for the unanswered prayers of your life. You will learn to thank God. Because the truth is that there is an answer to every unanswered prayer. You just have to look back at the situation again. There is an answer in every unanswered prayer. You just might have overlooked it. There have been times in my life that I prayed for financial blessing to get money. You are slow. It wasn't churchy, so it caught you off guard. There were times that I prayed for financial increase. There, you like that better? And all I got, and I was expecting like a check in the mail, like a random check, just like manna from heaven dropped in. Or I was expecting like a glorious tax refund, you know? And instead, all I got was more difficult work, harder work, and more opportunities to do some work. No amens on that. You're like, I like the mail better. But what I'm trying to say to you is that God really did answer my prayer. It seemed like an unanswered prayer because I was looking at it and I was like, well, I don't know. Just so if you don't know, I also have a real estate license. This isn't a commercial. But I'm saying that in real... it really isn't. But what I'm trying to say, y'all, don't act. Don't give me that. Now listen. Did I just lose you on that? Seriously? Did I just leave? Like, y'all really didn't know that? Y'all know that. Don't, listen, go use somebody else. They got a good realtor. Caitlin Cofty's in here. We got other realtors. Use them. See, there we go. You're welcome. See, I'll give. I'll sow that, you know? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. No, but what, y'all, I lost you. I'm never talking about real estate again in this church. what I'm trying to say to you, what I'm trying, with the words that are trying to come out of my mouth, is that I was asking God for financial opportunity for blessing, and what he did is give me more work, lots of it, and some of it seemed to be frustrating. I wanted to bounce my head off the ground. And God had really answered my prayer. It just came in a way that I didn't expect it. And you might have the provision to your prayer right in front of you. You just don't like what you see. You've been praying for financial opportunities and blessings, and you got some hard, ugly, nasty work that nobody else wants to do sitting right in front of your face. And will you pick it up? You see, because we ask God for more, and he'll answer, but it just might come in an unexpected package. Get off this stuff. You've been praying for a wife. Some of y'all have been praying for a wife. Some of y'all have been praying for a husband. And all God seems to answer with is prolonged singleness. Prolonging your idle time. And you're like, well, this is an unanswered prayer. But God is shaping you into the husband that you were meant to be. God is shaping you into a wife before he comes along. See, you don't become a wife and you don't become a husband when the ring gets put on the finger and you stand at an altar. A ring doesn't make you a wife. A ring doesn't make you a husband. And Sarah, trust me, I've done way too many weddings to just go ahead and let you know that the ceremony doesn't make you a wife. The ceremony doesn't make you a husband. God shapes you into that in the preliminary, running up to it. You're like, why am I single? Because he's not done with you yet. He's preparing you, shaping you, molding you. You say, well, God's not answering my prayer. Oh, yes, he is. It just came in a way you didn't like. There's an answer to every unanswered prayer. You just got to see it. Some of y'all prayed for patience. Lord, help me with my patience. Don't do that, by the way, because God will, he will test you. He will give you many opportunities to be tested. Sitting on 485, the Beltway, sitting at the drive-thru waiting, people honking at you. Don't ask God for patience. He'll test you. The thing is, we think God's not answering, but the truth is he's answering in unexpected ways. We can't overlook him. As the band comes back to help me close so I can remember that I'm supposed to stop talking. I believe this morning that God has answered your unanswered prayer. Now, I want to show you one more thing back in 1 Kings 17. Look back with me. 1 Kings 17, the widow prayed for rain. She prayed for manna. She prayed for the famine to end. But instead, God sent her a hungry prophet who devoured all that she had remaining. And although it wasn't what she prayed for, it was exactly what she needed in that moment of her life. Because if you keep reading into verse 17, the Bible says that while Elijah was still in this woman's house, her son that she loved so dearly became ill and died. And even Elijah, God's man, cried out to God and he said, why would you allow this son of hers to die? After all, she's been so hospitable to me. She's helped me. And now her son has died. And the Bible says that Elijah picked up that little boy and he stretched out over top of him and he prayed that God would revive him. And after the third time, that dead son came back to life. And all the while, that widow had been praying for some grain. All the while, that widow had been praying for some rain to fall. She had been praying for one thing that was minuscule, that seemed monumental in the moment. But really, God's answer was for more than just the famine. His answer was for her household, for her son, for her child, that he would be resurrected. And sometimes what you're praying for really isn't what you're praying for. And what you're asking God to do in your life, he might answer it a totally different way because he's three steps ahead of you and he knows what you need even before you know it. if God had answered this woman's prayer in the conventional, generic way, oh, let's send a little bit of rain, that son would have died. Ada had a funeral, and that would have been all she wrote. But I thank God that he didn't answer this woman in the way she asked. I thank God that he didn't answer this woman in the conventional, traditional way. Instead, he does the unthinkable, he does the unexpected, because he knows what we need even before we ask. And I want to tell you this morning that your God knows what you need even before you ask. He knows what's around the corner before you can even comprehend it. You serve a good, good Father who is perfect and majestic in all of his ways. Why don't you stand to your feet with me all over this place? Father, we love you and we worship you and we bless your mighty name.
What'd you think? Mom did send that to me during the week to listen to, and I listened to it while I was trying to build a closet. So I got some new things out of it this time, knowing where it ended. But I talked to her about it and said, well, you know, we've been through a lot this year, and, you know, I don't know that... losing dad, we don't know how that particular circumstance is going to look in a few years. You know, to look back and say, what did God do with that? What did he, you know, certainly dad is free. And I don't have to worry about him suffering. We don't have to worry about his discomfort, because he's, as the man said, more alive than we will ever be until we join them. But it's still hard, and the things we face, the people we lose, it's still hard. And it's hard to see in the circumstance how God's going to use that and what God can do with that. But we do believe that he has a purpose for these things and that he sees what's ahead. Now, we all die. That's true. Unless we're raptured, we all are going to die, and it's going to be a difficult circumstance in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. But God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we expect God to glorify himself through these circumstances in our lives, because we believe in his word and his promises. And so this was a blessing to hear, because we do face in our lives things that we pray for that we don't see resolved in the way we expect to see them resolved. I think we talked this year that the script I had written went different with Dad. It didn't go the way, I had designed it and hoped. But God's got his own script, and that's the one we want. And as the preacher said, we trust in his sovereignty even when things don't work out the way we want them to work out, because we have to trust that he knows better than we do. We have to trust that he sees in advance, and he, as we were saying earlier, salvation and eternity is so much more important than even our bodily healing or the healing of our loved ones, because that's forever. And so we do know that when we're in eternity together, it will be easy to look back and say, any good that came from a death of a person who went to be with the Lord in glory, any good was worth it. Because we're all going to end up there together, and we're going to be there forever. And the finite time we have together here is going to seem like a blink. But any good, any glory to the Lord, any salvation, any growth in faith during this time that we struggle is worth it. And I could definitely connect with what the man said about growing close to the Lord in the difficult times, and it's not wasted. It's not wasted. It's easy to get frustrated and say, what good does prayer do? But faith that grows through what appears to be unanswered prayers is valuable, invaluable, and will lead to, as he said, resilient faith coming from unanswered prayer. Resilient, stronger faith that can stand through harder and harder circumstances. Not that we're looking for harder and harder circumstances, but the faith that makes it through your difficult circumstances is so valuable and will bless you and bless others in the years to come, in the days to come, in the difficulties to come. Did you want to do a prayer time, or did you have something more to say, Mom? No? Well, let us pray. I didn't set Andrew up with any prayer music, so just hum something to yourself. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Word. Even the Word coming from the computer. It's your Word. And as the scripture in Isaiah said, it's going to accomplish its purpose. It's not going to return void. And what you set in motion and what you set to accomplish is not going to fail. So we can have full assurance, a blessed assurance, that you are going to accomplish all of the purposes that you set out to accomplish in our lives and in this church and in the lives of our loved ones and on this earth. And so we want to pray, we want to believe, we want to put our faith in you, in your Word and your will. We want to ask your will for our lives individually. And that as we pray for the things that we face, the pain, the challenge, the need, that just like in the good times, we can trust in your sovereignty and trust that the outcome will be according to your will as we believe in you and believe and trust in you to bring about your will in our lives. Let us have confidence, God, that whatever happens, as we put our faith and trust in you, we can rest assured that the outcome is in your hands, so that we need not worry. We put this church in your hands so that we need not worry. And we put the souls of our loved ones in your hands so that we need not worry. And we lift them up to you. Salvation is your purpose. Bring our loved ones, our friends, our family, our co-workers to you in salvation and glorify your name in that way. Let us be used for your purposes to bless them, to pray for them, to call out to you about them, Lord God, in their time of need, and just birth your seed of salvation in their hearts. And as we continue to go to you, Lord God, for the needs in our own lives, we just pray that you help us to understand, to see more clearly your purposes and your will in our life. And let us be patient, Lord God, until that time comes. We thank you for your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness to us. Great is your faithfulness to this body. And continue to guide us and lead us, Lord. We thank you for the Word today that really feels like the right thing at the right time. And we ask that you just continue to lead us as a body in unity, pursuing your Word, pursuing your will for our lives in this house of prayer and worship. And we ask, Lord God, that you, as you continue to bind us together in unity, Lord God, in faith, that you allow more souls to be saved, more seeds to be planted, and let the harvest, Lord God, Let the harvest be realized, be reaped, and come in. In your name we pray. We pray that you be with us, go with us, protect us, and heal us, Lord. There are needs, as we've called out today, needs of healing, needs of restoration, needs of reconciliation, needs of strength, needs of opportunity and income. And we ask that you touch and bless each of those needs. We continue to call to you in prayer, Lord God, because we trust in you. And whether the prayer gets answered in the way we expect, sometimes it does. More often it doesn't. But we trust in your purposes, we trust in your ways, which are higher than our ways, which we don't always understand, but which we can trust that you're a good, good Father. And you're not going to hand us something bad. And the one good thing we know you give, the opportunity you give, and the value that you give is more of you, because you are more than enough. We thank you and bless your holy name. Give us more of you, God, however you will. In your name we pray. Amen.